Daf is Daf Kuf Tezvav. We begin the next parak called Kisvei. So the mission begins. The parak begins called Kisvei Kodesh Matzilin also Mipnei Adileika. Any Kisvei Kodesh, which Rashi points out, include any Sifrei Tanakh. If there's a fire and they're concerned that the fire is going to burn it, so the din is Matzilin also Mipnei Adileika. You could save it from the fire. Rashi points out, why wouldn't you be able to? What's wrong? Of course you should save it. So Rashi said, Matzilin also Kedekatani the Kaman. We're going to see later on in Daf Kuf Tezayin, tomorrow's Daf, the Mavoi Sheinim Befulash, to a Mavoi that doesn't pass through both ends. We'll see. There are no real violations of Hotzah, what he's telling us. We'll see tomorrow what that means. But it's not an issue of Hotzah. The Tircha Ba'almahu the Shari. It's because of excess effort, overexerting oneself. One's allowed to. Normally, you can't do Tircha Yisera on Shabbos, but when it comes to saving Kisvei Kovdish, you're allowed to. Tosin points out, Kol Kisvei Kovdish Matzilin Oso Mipnei Adleika. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the Kula Hai Pirka, the entire parak here, Ari Kishanafla Adleika Ba'osa Bias, O Ba'osa Chatzar, where there's a fire in that house, or the fire in that particular courtyard. To Chemin She'esh Sham, since there's fire already present, Vaday Bahulhu, the guy is very nervous and anxious. Vi Sharish Lei, if you allow him to take out all the everything that's needed there, Asa the Chabuye Kimifarish Begamar, he's going to end up putting out the fire. So Aval Nafla Deleika Bebais Acher Mutalatzil HaKol. So here, if you allow him to save everything of his, not just Kisvei Kodesh, everything, all his property, his chairs, his clothing, his tables, wait a second, I've got a ton of stuff here, I can't save everything, let me put out the fire. But if you limit it to just his Svarim, just the Kisvei Kodesh, then he's not as anxious, and he knows he can only say Kisvei Kodesh, he won't come to extinguish the fire. But if it's if it's a different house, let's say there's two blocks down, there's a fire, then there's no anxiety for the guy right now who's two blocks away. He can save everything if he wants because he's not so pressed for time because the fire is a bit of a distance from him. That's what Tosus explains. Now, the Rashba points out that the Bavli says you can only save it from the fire, but you can't put out the fire. But the Yushalmi says you are allowed to put out the fire here. The reason is because the Yushalmi Paskins like Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shein Miskavein is Mutter. Your intention here is not, rather, Melacha Shein Tzuch L'Gufa is mutter. Your intention, remember, when it comes to be mechavik, extinguishing something, it's only an Isra Midiraisa if you're trying to create ashes, something to use, to create ashes, a coal of some sort. But if you're trying to put out the fire, that's a melacha shenet tzichel gufa, which is pater for Rabbi Shimon. And since it's in the case of, since it's for the purpose of Kisvei Kodesh, ein shvus omed lifnei Kisvei Kodesh. There's no shvus that stands in the way of Kisvei Kodesh. So, for example, the Kisvei Kodesh can never be muksa. So to here as well, since extinguishing from Lacha, Shein Tzuch L'Gufa is only Pater Val Aser, the Makom Kisvei Kodesh, it's entirely permitted, and you could put out the fire even, according to the Yushalmi. Okay, let's finish this mission out. The mission again says, Kol Kisvei Kodesh Matzilin Oso Mipnei Adleika, you could save all Kisvei Kodesh from a fire. Bein Shekorin Behen, Bein Shein Korin Behen, whether you read from it or you don't read from it, what does that mean? What don't you read from? Rashi says here, Bein Shein Korin Behen, Kigong Ksuvim. Why don't you read Ksuvim? Why is it? That's also part of Tanakh. So Rashi goes on to say from Rabbeinu Halevi, Amar Dafil Yechidim Ein Korin Behen. Even a Yachid doesn't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, we'll see. Katani Taima Mishim Bitl Beis Medrash. Dimashche Liba. People enjoy Ksuvim. The nice stories in Ksuvim, the Chamesh Megillos are in so people end up enjoying it. So why is that Bitl Beis Medrash? U B'Shabbos Hayu Dorshin Drasha L'Bali Batim. So in the Shabbos, the Rav would give a drasha, Shasukin b'mlacha koyimosachol. All week long, the guy's been working, they're not learning so much. There's no daf yomi back then. Ubesocha drasha, ayu morin lehen halacha iser v'heter. Their drashas, it was not just inspiration, it was to excite them, to engage them, but also to teach them halacha. They didn't learn halacha all week long. V'tov lehen l'shmo milakos b'ksuvim. So it's better for them to hear than to read Ksuvim. In other words, what they're explaining here, if they were to read Ksuvim, they'd be like, the guy, the rabbi's giving the drasha, and they're busy reading their comic books on the Lahavdil, obviously, but they're drawn to reading the stories of Ksuvim. They're not going to pay attention to the drasha. Ksuvim was very exciting to them. And therefore, they asked reading Ksuvim on Shabbos. This way, everyone would pay attention to the drasha and learn a little bit about halacha. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Bein Shekorin, Bein She'ein Korin. Even if it's part of the Tanakh that we're not allowed to read on Shabbos, regardless of the type, you are allowed to save on Shabbos from a dleika. Back into the Mishnah. The Afa Pisha Ketuvim Bechaloshin, even though it might be written in any language, and we'll see later on about if Hebrew, if Tanakh, is written in other languages, you're not really allowed to read it and write such a sefer, even though it was written such a way, you could still save that on Shabbos from the fire. And Tu'un and Geniza, if there are such svarim that were written with psukim in other languages, requires Geniza. We'll have to read the Gemara, how that, what's really going on here in the Mishnah. But you have to do Geniza for these svarim. Why don't we read these things? As we saw in Rashi, Mipnei Bittel Beis Medrash. So again, the Mishnah is telling us here that you could save any Kitzvei Kodesh from a fire, whether you read from it, whether you don't read from it, regardless of the language. And because the reason why you don't read for these Ksuvim is because Mip Bittel Mip Beis Medrash. Fine. The Gemara now says, Itmar. Hayu Ksuvim Targum O B'Cholosh. And let's say you have Ksuvim that are written in Targum or in any other language, Aramaic or any other language. Rav Huna Amar Ein Matzil Nosa Mipnei Adeleika. You would not save such Ksuvim that are written in other languages. Rav Chista Amar Matzil Nosa. He said he would save from Mipnei Adeleika. Ali B'Deman. Who is this going according to? Damar L'Nitu Likros Ben. If you say that a Sifrei Tanakh written in any language, you may read from them. You're allowed to write Hebrew, Chumash in English and read from it. You're allowed to. Chuli Amal Pligi De Matzilin. Everyone agrees. You can save such Svarim on Shabbos. You could save English Chumashim on Shabbos because you're allowed to read from them. He Pligi, when they argue, is Aliba De Man Damar Lo Nidl Lekros Behem. There's an opinion that says you can't read from Svarim written in English. Why? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Aliba demand damar nitnu likros ben chuliyam lo pligi de matzilin. The hash the svarim shalom, our svarim, says Tosfos, matzilin de nitnu likros ben. Lamaisa, our svarim, you're allowed to save that are written in English or French or any language. Mishim eish lasas la Hashem mefaru Torah secha. You're really not allowed to write any Sifrei Tanakh in other languages. Nowadays, since people don't understand, they were able to translate it and write in other languages. But back in the times of the Gemara, it wasn't so true that you were allowed to. So if you hold that you're allowed to read such svarim in other languages, you certainly could save them. But if you hold you can't read such svarim in other languages, so that's the machlokus again. Ki pligi aliba demand amar lo ninu likros ben. Rav Huna amar ein matzilin, you can't save such svarim. Deha lo ninu likros ben. You weren't given permission to read from such svarim, and therefore there's no kedusha to them. You have to let them just burn. Rav Chista amar matzilin mishum bizayon kitzvei kodesh. Even though you can't read from them, they're still psuk in there. Even though it's in English or French or Spanish, they're still considered Kisvei Kodesh, and therefore you have to save them, not because you could use them, but because it's a bizayon of Kisvei Kodesh. So the Rashi just points out here, if you look at the first Rashi in the Gemara, more than halfway down the narrow lines in Rashi, when it says this discussion here, that Itmar, Hayu Ksuvim Targum, that you're written in Aramaic, Aksuvim Kamar. Rashi says this discussion is only the Gabik Suvim, but Li Nira Akol Kisvei Kodesh Ka. He thinks it's referring to all Kisvei Kodesh written in any language. This is a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah. Tanan. Kol Kisvei Kodesh, Matzil Noso Mipnei Adeleika. Bein Shekorn Behen, Bein Shein Korn Behem, Afa Pisha Ksuvim Becholashim. So this is the Mishnah. You could save any Kisvei Kodesh regardless of the language it's written in. My love, shekorn behen, nevin, v'shein korn behen, ksuvim. When we say korn and ein korn, does that not mean korn means nevim, which you can learn on Shabbos, and ein korn behen means ksuvim, which you can't read. And af apisha ksuvim mechaloshin, even though it's written in any language. In other words, ksuvim, which are not read on Shabbos, even though they're written in other languages, delo nitlu likros behen, and yet katani matzilim. I mean, the Mishnah ends up saying here that you're allowed to save ksuvim, that are written in other languages, even though you can't read them, you could still save it. That supports Rav Chista and Tatiuf to the Rav Huna. Rav Huna thought you could only save Svarim that you could read. But this Mishnah clearly says you could save even Ksuvim which are not read on Shabbos. So Amar Lach Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, no, V'tizbara. Does this make sense? Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa, Tzunin Geniza. It also says that you require Geniza for these Svarim. Now, Hashta Atzule Matzilin Geniza Mibayi. If you're able to save these things on Shabbos, that shows us there's a kedusha to them. Obviously, they also require geniza if you're going to bury them, get rid of them. So that's an unnecessary statement. So there's something missing in the Mishnah he's saying. Because if it's just taking at face value, the point of requiring geniza is completely unnecessary. So Ella, so after understanding there's something that's missing in the Mishnah, let's explain what the Mishnah means. Let's re-understand the Mishnah. So Ella Rav Huna says, Metaritz Latame. Rav Chista Metaritz Latame. Each of them explain the Mishnah according to their perspective, their shita. Rav Huna Metaritz Latame, Bein Shekarin Behem. Again, Rav Huna is one who holds that you can't save Ksuvim B'Cholashim.
So Rav Huna, that he says you can't save it, he reads it as, again, Rav Huna mitarit latame, bein shekorn behem nevim, bein shekorn ein korn behem ksuvim. You could save either one, but medvar murim, only sheksuvim belashna kodesh. Only when they're written in Hebrew can you save all Sifrei Tanakh, even those you can't read because of the bittul base medrash. If they are written in another language, in English, French, or Spanish, then ein matzilin. But even though ein matzilin, even though you can't save them on Shabbos, nonetheless, afil hachi, geniza bari, it does require geniza. So this is how Rav Huna understands the Mishnah, and what comes out clearly is that he holds you cannot save ksuvim that are written b'cholashim. We'll see that later. The Gemara is going to discuss later on. The halach is you're allowed to. Rav Chista
mitarit l'tame. So he puts a dot after Korin Bayim on it, and then he reads Afal Pi Shekorin b'Chodeshon Tonim Gneiza.
He adds in
to the Afal Pi Tonim
Gneiza. He adds in Bamed Varamurim, and then after qualifying, he says the Afal Pi, even though it's not you can't save it.
It goes on Ketuvim only.
Yeah, exactly. Comes along Rav Chista mitarit l'tame. Bein Shekorin Bayim Nevin, Bein Shekorin Bayim Ben Ksuvim, Afal Pi Shekorin b'Chodeshon. Nami Matzilin, even though it's written in other languages, you still would save it. In other words, you do save Sepharim, even though you can't read from them. That's Rav Chista l'shitaso. V'hachi kamar, so what are we learning from Geniza? If you could save it, certainly you could do Geniza. So Rav Chista adds in, what's Geniza going on? U'makak shelahen tunin Geniza. What's makak? Rashi explains makak three wide lines down in Rashi. U'makak shelahen im balu, if they end up wearing out the Sepharim. Vinasu recover, they become rotten. Af hamakak rakfuvis, the little like dust of the swarm that end up falling apart and peeling apart. Shelachilis hatalam that worms and other insects eat. Tuna and geniza, those parts of the crumbling of the paper of the cloth, that's what requires geniza. But enechanav is certainly the cloth when they're intact. If you could save them on Shabbos, certainly you would require geniza. So Gemara asks the question: Meisive, hayuk suvim targum. You have ksuvim written in Aramaic or any other language. You would save it from the fire. To Yufta the Rav Huna, who says you don't save ksuvim b'cholashon from the fire. So has Rav Huna wiggle out of this one? Amrlach Rav Huna, hay tana savar nitnu likusbem, that this particular brisa holds that you are allowed to read ksuvim b'cholashon, but I, Rav Huna says, I hold that ksuvim l'maisa cannot be read. So this is just a different tana, but I hold like the other tana. So in other words, it's a machlok of tanaim, whether or not ksuvim b'cholashon may be read on Shabbos, and then that would dictate and indicate whether or not you could save them on Shabbos according to Rav Huna. So Gemara now brings Tashma, ksuvim, giftis, midyas, ivris, ilmas, yivanis, all different languages, if they're written in these languages, afapi, shlo nitnu, likos, behem, even though you can't read them in other languages, matzilin oso mipnei deleika, you could save them from the fire, that's a clear tiyufta again, to Rav Huna. So Amalach Rav Huna says, I told you already, this is a tanahi, this is a machlokas tanaim, whether or not ksuvim b'cholashon may be read or not may be read. So this particular brisa holds that you may read ksuvim b'cholashon, and that's why, I'm sorry, he says, even though there's a different machlokas, that machlokas whether or not you could save that which can't be read. I mean, this brisa says you can't read these ksuvim b'cholashon. Even though you can't read them, you could still save them. So, in other words, machlokas of Hun Rav Chista is really a machlokas tanaim, or whether you're matzilin ksuvim that are written b'cholashon, even though you can't read from them. So, Gemara says, what's the tanahi? The Tanya, the brisa says, how you ksuvim targum u b'cholashon. Matzilin also mipnei deleika. If you have written in any language, you could save it from the fire. And Rabbi Yossi Omer ein matzilin also mipnei deleika. You can't save it. So this machlokas tonight between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi is the same machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, where you could save ksuvim written b'cholash. So Gemara says now further. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says ma'isa ba'aba chalafta. There was a ma'isa with Abba Chalafta. Who's Abba Chalafta? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says an interesting point here. Four wide lines down or five wide lines up, Rashi says, Abba Chalafta, Abba Shel Rabbi Yossi was Chalafta Shemo. His father's name was Chalafta. So Rabbi Kiva Eger here asks in his Chidushim, he says, I don't understand. How is Rabbi Yossi referring to his father by his first name, Chalafta? It's an Isser, the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't call your father by the first name. So how is this allowed? So Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from his son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger. Rabbi Shlomo Eger says that no, if you add a shem toar, if you add a name of Mishabeach, your father, you'd be allowed to. So he didn't say Chalafta, he said Abba Chalafta. You don't say your Rebbe's, Shimon, you say Rav Shimon. So once you add a title beforehand, you would be allowed to. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eger, at least his son, gets out of it. The Gruss is the same thing. It's very halacha l'maisa. When a person gets an aliyah, so they ask him, what's your name? You don't say Ploni ben Ploni, because that's saying your father's name. You're supposed to say, it's brought down the poskim, you should say Ploni ben Reb Ploni. Adding the Reb is a lashon chashivus. It's not a Rav. It's not smicha you're giving your father. It's a Reb. It's a chashiv way to refer to someone, because you shouldn't refer to them by the first name. So that's what he said, Abba Chalafta, his father Chalafta, and that would be allowed. So either way, Rabbi Yossi says, a ma'isa b'Abba Chalafta, and the ma'isa with his father, Shehalach Eitzel Rabban Gamliel, B'ribi L'Tiveria, he was walking with Rabban Gamliel, and Matzu Shaya Yoshev al Shulchano the Shel Yochanan Nazov. He was sitting at the table of some individual here, and Ubiado Sefer Iov Targum, and he had the Targum, the Aramaic of Iov Fu Karibo, and he was reading from this. U Amar Lo Zachani Rabban Gamliel. I remember Avi Avicha. I remember Rabban Gamliel, his grandfather. Right, this is Rabban Gamliel saying about his grandfather, whose name he was named after, Rabban Gamliel. Shaya Omer Agavi Mala Bahar Bais. You're standing on some type of level platform on Har Bais. They brought for him this Targum, this Aramaic version of Eof. Vamar Levanai, he says to his Levanai, to the people building, Shakeu Tachas Anidvech, to take this Sefer Eof of Targum and put it underneath the rock. Afutzivalav Vaganzo, so he too as well. So there at the time, Rabban Gamliel, to the grandson now, told the individual who's learning the Targum of Eof to do the same thing and to hide it, use it as Geniza. You shouldn't be reading from this. So, because any ksuvim written in any other language, the din is ein likros bam. So, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda just points out. He says, "Areva shel tit kafu olav." They had some basket made of mud, fashioned from mud, and they covered over it. And on that last piece, Amar Rabbi shtei tshuvos b'davra. I've got two questions on the last piece of the areva shel tit. Number one, chada v'chi tit b'har bayis minayin. Was there mud on the top of har bayis? It was all stone. There's no mud. And v'od v'chi muter l'avdim b'yad. Can you take Targum Eov and just destroy it with your hand? Meaning one thing, to just let it go in the fire. But another thing, to go actively and to bury it, to get rid of a good safer, that wouldn't be allowed. So, Elamanichen, Makom HaTorfa, you should let the Targum of Eov just stand in a Makom Torfa, which is a Makom Hefker, Vein Markivin Me'alein, and let them rot on its own. That was the Ma'aseh. But either way, we see from here that this is the opinion that holds Ksuvim B'Chaloshon, that's written in other language. Rabbi Gamliel is the one who holds, you can't read from such Ksuvim. So my Tanai, so what's the machlokas? Who's the other opinion here? So the Gemara says further that Elaim are going on to Amud Beis now. Tanakama de Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi, this ma'aseh we just brought here. The Rabbi Yossi was the one who says you can't read the Targum of Eov. So must it not be the Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi who says you can read B'chol Lashon? Because the Braisa said in the beginning of this story that Hayu Ksuvim Targum B'chol Lashon Matzil Noso Mipnei Adleika, you can save them. So the Gemara says, maybe, how do you know? There's two debates here. One debate is, can you save them on Shabbos? Second debate is, can you read them b'chol lashon? This brayse of Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama is talking about saving them on Shabbos, not talking about reading them. We're looking for the machlokes about reading these svarim. So the Gemara says, Elema, if you say Tanakhama du Rabbi Yossi, this brayse about saving them on Shabbos or not, the Dilma b'ha kamiflagi, but maybe Marsav are nitnu likos behem, Umarsav are lo nitnu likos behem. Maybe they only argue about whether you can read them or not read them, but we don't know about whether or not you could save them on Shabbos or not. So we're trying to figure out the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda debated whether you could save them on Shabbos. This debate we just saw about Rabbi Yossi was about whether you could read them in general. So that we know there's machlokas about whether you could read them. That's previous brisa. But where's the machlokas tonight whether you could save them on Shabbos or not? And the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yossi, Vitana de Giftis. Rabbi Yossi and the other Braiser earlier that said about the different languages, we said that if it's written in Giftis or Midyas or Ivris or Ilmas, Yivnis, all these things, even though you can't read from them, you would still save from them. So here we see this is the Machlokas, whether or not you could save them or not. So it end up, it gets a little confusing, but end up being there's two Machlokas in here. Number one is, can you read such Ksuvim B'Chaloshon? And secondly, can you save such Ksuvim on Shabbos?
Neviim, you can both read them and say, and you have to save them.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, Torah and Neviim that you certainly can read, and also you could save them, you must save them on Shabbos, right? Okay, the Gemara now says four lines down. Tanu Rabban. Habrachos, Vakimios, Afa Pishesh Bem Osios Shel Shem, Uminyanos Harbe, Shibatara, Ein Matzilin Oso Mipnei Adleika. If you have different brachos, Rashi says brachos are referring to Matbea brachos shetavu chachamim kigon yudches shon esrei v'shar brachos. You have like a list, you know, in the article Siddur, you know, it has a list of brachos after davening, just a list of what brachos to say in various foods or various items. So that's a little tablet. You have a little booklet, a little kuntres, or you have these kamios, which we discussed, which are little, you know, people walk around to help protect them from various machshefos or help with refuah. So these things, brachos v'akamiyim afal pishyeshvem osios shel shem, even though they might have letters of Hashem's name within them. And in Yanim Harbe Shabbat Torah, different parshios, different sugyas of the Torah in them. They're written in different psukim. Ein matzion osom mipnei adleika. You would not save them on Shabbos. Ela nisrafim bimkomam hein vaskoresem. You just let them burn them and their names of Hashem, and you can't save them. Mikan amru. From here we see kosfei brachos kisorfei Torah. Those who write down brachos is like burning the Sefer Torah. In other words, why? Because if you write them down and it happens to be a delay, you can't save them, so you're causing these things to possibly be burnt on Shabbos. So don't write them down. So Maisa Be'echad She'akosev B'tzidun. So there was a Maisa, they found out a certain Yid was writing down brachos on a weekday, just writing them down. And Bo V'hodiyo as Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael got wind of this, that such a person was writing down brachos. V'halach Rabbi Yishmael Lebotko, he went to inspect. Kishaya Ola Basum, he went into the ladder of the guy. It seems that he went to the guy's house to really do a real inspection. Hirgushbo, the owner of the Baal Bas, realized that Rabbi Yishmael was after him. Natal Tumas Shabrachos, Vishakan Bisafa Shamayim. He took this pamphlet of Brachos and he dipped it in water. This way it would erase all the Brachos in there. Ublashan Hazeh, Amarlo, and Rabbi Yishmael said in this very language, he says to him, Gadol Onesh Ha'achron Min Arishon. Greater was the second act of erasing everything than writing them down in the first place. Say, okay. So, by Minei Reish Kalusa, Me Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Reish Kalusa asked Rabba Bar Rav Huna the following Shaila. Hayukok Suvin Besamu Besikru Bekumus Ubekankantum Beloshen HaKodesh Matzil Nasob Mipnei Adelaika O Ein Matzil. When you write in these different types of writings here, which Rashi goes through all the different things we discussed in the past as well, if you write in any of these types of things, which even though they are miskayim, there's a whole long, there's a Tosa that talks about writing Gittin and Sefer Torah in other types of inks. But the question is, if you wrote in these inks, which are not necessarily black and not necessarily as permanent, would one require saving them on Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says, Tibai Lamandamar Matzilin. This question is both on those who say you can save a ksuvim written in any language, and it's also posing the question for those who say you can't save ksuvim written mechalashin. In other words, tibay the mandamar ein matzilin. Tibay the mandamar ein matzilin. The question is posed to those who say you can't save ksuvim mechalashin. Maybe that's hanimile dehecha the ksuvim targum mechalashin when it's written in Aramaic or any other language like French and Spanish. Aval hacha here, the ksiv lashon hakodesh matzilin. But here, this was written in Hebrew, just a different ink that was used. But it was the whole Megillas Esther, the whole Sefer Torah is written here. So therefore, it's lashon hakodesh, and therefore maybe this case you should save, and the ink shouldn't make any difference. Odilma, perhaps, afil l'man damar matzilin, maybe the one who holds normally that other languages, ksuv b'chol lashon, can be saved, matzilin also, maybe that's hani milin the ksiv b'diyo d'mikayim. Only with ink that really is everlasting, like the black ink that we use in the parchment. Aval hacha here, this type of ink, kevin delo mekayim, it doesn't last as long. Lo, maybe it's not as permanent, and therefore the kedusha shouldn't be there. So it's a question to both studim. So the Gemara says, Amrle ein matzilin, you don't save. V'har Rav Hamnuna tani matzilin, didn't Rav Hamnuna bring a brayse that says you would save such svarim that are written in other inks? Amalei itanya tanya. If it's a brayse, it's a brayse. You're not going to argue in a brayse. This is a discussion between the Reish Kalusa and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. They're Amaraim. Amaraim can't argue in a brayse. So if it's a brayse that you save these types of kitzei kodesh, that's a brayse. I have to accept it. So my tanya, what's the brayse? So I'm Rav Ashi. The tanya, the brayse says ein ben svarim lemegillah el she svarim nichtam mechaloshon umegillah ad shetek suva ashuris al hasefer ubedio. That there's no difference between Sfarim, which is referring to Sifrei Torah, of all, or maybe it could be all Tanakh, all books of Tanakh, and Megillah, Megillah's Esther, except for the fact that Sfarim can be written in any language, and the Megillah must be written only in Ashuris, only in Hebrew letters, and on a Sefer of cloth, and on ink. And therefore, we see, since Sfarim can be written in any language, seemingly in any ink as well, you can save it on Shabbos.
Otherwise, to make it a kana, not to write brachas, just there is a fire on Shabbos.
Well, what was Shkir? A fire, you're saying, was Shkir. Oh, could be.
Yeah, because to make it a Canada, you shouldn't be able to write, let's say, brachos, just in case there's a fire, and it happens to right. be on Shabbos.
It could be. I'm not sure. Who knows? It definitely happened. It happens now where we live, even though we live in places where they have all the rules, you know, the houses have to be distant from each other. They didn't have back then those rules. It certainly happened. I don't know how common, but again, we have all these fire rules, you know, it's common enough. I don't know if more common than nowadays, but certainly common enough that there was a need to make such a gzera. Right. We have takanas of things that, we don't make a gzera. If it's low shchichi, we don't make gzeras. So how do you define shchichi? It's unclear. But we don't know how common it was, though. Okay, the Gemara then says, "By Minei Rav Huna Bar Chalav Mirav Nachman Sefer Torah She'ein Bo Lelakit Shimonim VaChamesh Osios." If there's no Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah does not have the ability. I mean, it's been so worn out that there are not enough letters or words to gather 85 letters. Why 85 letters? Could go in Parshas Vayi Ben Toharon Matzil Naso Mipnei Adleika. Oh, ain't Matzil. The parsha of Ayim Aaron is 85 letters. It's a separate parsha, as we'll see, because the two nuns are separating that parsha from the previous parts of Bamidbar and the parts afterwards. So it's viewed as really a separate sefer b'fnei atzmo, and it's the 85 letters. So that's a small sefer we have. It's much smaller than Bereishis, Shmos, and so on. So the question is, if you have an area of a sefer Torah that only has 84 or 83 letters left, would that require one saving it, or 85 is the limit? Anything less than 85 letters, you don't save on Shabbos. Exactly, everything got worn out.
One.
Exactly. So if that's what's remaining is less than 85 letters, is the Shaila. If it's 85 letters or more, that's considered safer using the model of Vayhi ben Tzaron. But if it's less than that, the Shaila is, do you save such a safer or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei v'tibar lach parsha Vayhi ben Tzaron gufa. Why asking about some other random parsha? What about Vayhi ben Tzaron? Let's give just that on klaf. Vayhi ben Tzaron, the 85 letters that's on a cloth, would you say that or not? Heicha the chasa parshas Vayhi ben Tzaron lo kamibaylei. If it's missing that whole parsha, we don't. That wasn't a shaila. If it's missing Vayhi ben Tzaron, techevin dis beas hatzkaros avagav dules be shmonim v'chamesh osios matzil. If even though it has missing Vayhi ben Tzaron, since it has a hatzkaros, has Shemos Hashem in it, so that certainly you would save because of the Shem Hashem. That demands one saving it. But the question was, Sefer Torah she'ein bo l'lakate mai. If the Sefer Torah does not have the ability to collect, there are no S karos as well, there's no Shemos Hashem, and there's less than 85 letters, that type of Sefer Torah, whatever's left of that parsha, would that be able to be saved on Shabbos or not? And the Gemara says, mai, amalei ein matzilin. If it doesn't have a Shem Hashem, and also doesn't have 85 letters, then you will not save such a Sefer, or at least such a remnant of a Sefer Torah on Shabbos. So Gemara now asks the question, Eisive, Targum shekasu mikra, u'mikra shekasu targum. If you have Aramaic, something that's supposed to be written in Aramaic, we'll see in just a second what the pasuk that is, but you have a pasuk that's Aramaic written in Hebrew, or you have Hebrew that's written in Aramaic, the ksav ivris, where it's written ivris. So there's two different types of ways to write Hebrew. There's ksav ishuris and ksav ivris. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how this changed historically over time. With Ezra, was that Shuris was really the original, the original letters we were given at the Har Sinai. We lost it, or we didn't use it, and then Ezra brought it back. Others say, no, at Har Sinai they had Ivris, and Shuris was a newer type of script that we would use. They actually point out some interesting things, because I think I saw this once explained, unless I made this up, that maybe the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the letters that Rabbi Kiva was darshing is because that's Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is what we have currently with the fancy tagin, the fancy crowns on top. Ksav Ivris is like a plain script writing. There's no fancy tagin. So it's possible Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have access to that. But hard to say that, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was writing the actual letters, he said, what are these tagin for? So he clearly did have the same Ksav as Rabbi Akiva. Either way, there had been some change of Ksav from Ivris to Ashuris over time. So again, the Gemara says, a Targum that's written in Hebrew, Mikra, or Mikra that's written in Targum, or Ksav Ivris written in different spelling, different font, different script, Matzil Mipnei Adleika, one would save from a fire. Vein Tzarech Lomar, needless to say, Targum Shebe'ezah Shebe'Daniel Shebe'Torah. So needless to say, that if you have the actual Targum, meaning if Daniel, I think all of Daniel, and much of Ezra, is written in Targum in Aramaic. So if you have certainly those points which are how the Pesukim are meant to be in Targum themselves, they weren't translated, it is Targum, or the parts of Torah that are meant to be in Targum, certainly these things as well, you would save on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Targum Shebet Torah Mayniu. Where do you find Targum in the Torah? Isn't the Torah written in Hebrew? Where is there ever an example of Targum in the Torah? So the Gemara says, yeah, sure there is. Quote the Pasuk, this is by Lot and Yaakov at the end, when Lot's finally, Yaakov's running away and he finally meets Lot. So the Pasuk says, I meant Lavan, yeah, Yigar Sadusa, it says at the end there, I think it's referring to the particular place there, that's Aramaic. So we see from here that either way you have, that if you have Aramaic, this is the Brisa. So the Gemara says, now after establishing this, any mikra or targum you have, you would save, and the Gemara just adds on, V'afa gav deles be'shmonim v'chamesh osias, even though they're not 85 letters, you would still have to save a little piece of a targum, a little piece of a mikra. So Gemara says, no, we're not referring to a brice here which stands alone as only like 80 letters. We're talking about kitanya hi lahashim, when it's there to complete it. What does it mean, lahashlim it? So if you look at Rashi says, lahashlim, im haya bo kidei lalakit, v'targum zu mashlimo mitstarif umatzilim b'shvilo. Let's say you have 80 letters. And then there's also 5 letters that are written in Targum, which are making it to 85 letters, so then one would save such a sefer Torah. We're not talking about where the Targum is just 5 letters. It's 5 letters that adds to the already existing 80 letters of the Hebrew, and since in total it's 85 letters, that's why you would save it. What were you saying? Yeah. The Gemara then says, "Ibarilu shmonim v'chamesh osios mechunasos o mefuzaros." When we say 85 letters, does it mean mechunasos, where they're gathered together all in the same spot, or is even if it's dispersed throughout the whole Sefer Torah—one in Bereishis, one in Noach, one in Lecha—and very separate from each other? So, how do you define 85 letters? So the Gemara says, "Rav Huda Amar mechunasos." Even only when they're close to each other would you acknowledge 85 letters as being significant. But if they're distant from each other, we wouldn't. And Rav Chista Amar afil mefuzaros. Even if they're dispersed throughout the cloth of Sefer Torah, if they're 85 letters that are still intact, that would be enough of a reason to save them on Shabbos. So asks the Gemara, "Meisive Sefer Torah shebala, Sefer Torah that's got worn out, it's been overused. Im yesh bo lalakit shmonim v'chamesh osios kigon parsha v'ayim so aron. Matzil, if it has 85 letters like the parsha v'ayim so aron, you'd save it. But in lav, if it does not have 85 letters, ein matzil, you would not save tiyufta the Rav Huna, because it sounds like that no matter where they are, it doesn't specify if they're mechunasos or not. So it sounds like Rav Huna was wrong. Rav Huna felt only if they're mechunasos, but this price implies even if they are mefuzaros. So the Gemara says, no, Targuma Rav Chista Aliba Rav Huna. We have that oftentimes, which is a very nice thing, where people argue with each other, but they still come to defend the other opinion. Meaning, even though Rav Chista argued Rav Huna, he came to the defense of Rav Huna, his Bar Plukta. And Rav Chista says, Targuma Rav Chista Aliba Rav Huna Betevos. We're talking about words here. Rashi explains, what do you mean, Tevos? Betevos, Hadikatani Lalakate, which is mashma mefuzaros. This brisa, which is lalakit, to gather them from all over the place, is when they're very dispersed. Lo lalakit os v'os lavad. Not when there's a letter here and a letter over there. That you need from the brisa, perhaps, all of them to be mechunasos. But if it's referring to tevos, elalakit tevos, if there's a word here and a word there, then teva lalakit teva shlema, teva kan, then ad pehe osios, up until 85 letters of all the words, they would agree that mifuzaros would be acceptable. Their debate is only about osios being dispersed. When it comes to tevos being dispersed, that would be entirely acceptable. Okay, we will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue with this tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.